It's Tuesday, September 18th, and the Packers and Vikings play to a tie in Week 2. And where is the NFL headed with all these rule changes? Also, over the weekend, the Wisconsin Badgers lose to BYU. Does this dash their title hopes? And who's mostly to blame for the loss? To Brewers baseball, just a couple of games left in the regular season. Who's the most important player on the team as we finish out the season? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Podcast episode 305. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you.
Mr. 305.
Dale. That's how I should have opened it. Dale. Tapping a keg. Mr. International Pitbull. How's everybody doing? It's a weird Tuesday, right? I feel like Packer fans have almost got more upset as the days have went on. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Thank you.
I'm you're welcome.
I'm doing pretty
well.
I
didn't want to forget you before I started the open, but
just getting right into it.
We have a lot to talk about.
There's
a lot going on. I said to you on the pre-production meeting.
Well, a Sunday sports overload. Leads into a early week podcasts that are loaded.
And I also too. I don't think that we expected that we'd have a segment on the Badgers. I think maybe we'd have a segment, but it'd be talking about the upcoming game against Iowa and managing expectations. And instead, we're talking about a loss for them. And, it's tough with the Brewers because we just did a podcast, but we're going to keep it rolling. And so it's just a really good time to be a sports fan in the state of Wisconsin, even if this weekend sucked. Next weekend could be 100 times better. The weekend after could be there, whatever. So you just kind of have to ride the ebb and flow. And the only reason it's kind of jam-packed is because you have a competitive baseball team. You have a college football team worth a damn. You don't have a college football team that, let's say, is, middling, like an Illinois, let's say, or, someone like that. So you should be kind of grateful, I guess. And so even though it was a really disappointing weekend, it's still worth being excited over and kind of getting that sort of every week. And it's why we have all these different podcasts now, because you have to keep up with it. And it's hard, to be honest.
Yeah, sports never stops.
It doesn't stop, and it's been a good one, and we'll see where the NFL really is going. So obviously you guys know it was a tie. It was a tough pill to swallow. I think there were five or six things where you're like, the Packers could have won this game, and there are six or seven things where you're like, wow, the Vikings could have won this game. And so you look at sort of, I guess, the tape, if you will, there's so many people on Twitter who do a great job of like breaking down this tape, and you see all the different things. And I've been critical of that sometimes because I think some people use it too often and they use it as a crutch. And it's like, well, but it is helpful for games like this where the refs affected the entire game. And it's a shame.
I guess the thing about using tape on Twitter is that you can easily find a play or two that'll prove your point.
Well, that was that Mitch Trubisky.
There might be six or eight other plays that go against your point, so.
Right.
It's easy to just, I guess that's what you're getting at, right? Is you can you can easily form a narrative or, destroy a guy on one play.
Like the Mitch Trubisky play last week where it looked like Trey Burton was wide open and Kevin King basically was like, nah, fuck that. Like, if he throws that, is running for six. I think that was his direct quote. And so, in terms of takeaways, in terms of how I feel right now, is I just worry. I don't know how people can play defense anymore. I hate to be kind of that hot take, kind of, using hyperbole, but I really can't understand how people can play defense anymore. I don't get it. I have no idea what's going on from an NFL perspective.
Hello?
And it's hard for me to really wrap my head around it. And I think it's going to change at different points of the season, but it's clear that the NFL is like, we don't really want you sacking the quarterback.
Yeah, evidently, because, you can watch that. And I was going to, on that play, I was going to text you and be like, the fuck is Kirk Cousins doing? Just launching one to Stacy Coley or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
The guy who they had just replaced for Laquan Treadwell. It's a tough name for me to say for some reason.
Laquan Treadwell.
Laquan Treadwell.
Laquanosaurus Rex.
They had just put this guy in, and Cousins is just absolutely unloading one.
I mean,
to this
that was
guy.
A very Brett Favre. Like he took like a shot of like
right.
whiskey and's like wild card yeah. bitches. Like,
and so here's and then I see the flags, you know, because Jair had made a nice interception yeah. and hold on, there's a flag, you know, and it's like they're not going to call rough. And then you see the replay, and it's like, oh my god, that's so bad. And I mean, granted, Rodgers had one or two that were pretty bad on him. So, but I guess the whole counter argument to, you know, I don't know what defense is, you know, the Packers do have the best quarterback in the league. So yeah. rules like this are kind of made to keep him healthy.
Right. The league, that's what the league has said. The league has said like, hey, look, we don't want any of our star quarterbacks to get hurt.
Right.
We don't give a shit when Davante Adams gets popped across the middle. And
exactly. What is for sure safe though on a quarterback sack? Like you can't leave your feet.
Yeah.
I mean,
so here's what I was thinking. So like a lot of the times, and this is kind of a little bit inside baseball, but a lot of times when I do podcasts and I think about what I'm going to say and I have this in my head. And so I was going to suggest like they should really work on just putting their hands up and trying to just block and deflect passes and not worry about wrapping up, instead deflect. And if he tucks the ball, then go after the quarterback. If he tucks like he's going to run, then go after him. But then I thought about it. And if you do that and you tap him on his fucking helmet, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
And we've seen that called. And that's a universal like acceptance. Like, oh, he hit his fucking helmet. That's a penalty. Yeah.
You can't touch him above the shoulders.
Exactly. What the fuck are you going to do?
I don't know.
And like, you hit him below the knees, that's a penalty. You hit him on his helmet, that's a penalty. You hit him where Matthews did, right in the middle. He had a form tackle.
Yeah.
That was a form tackle.
Yep.
And it was a penalty.
Yeah, I don't know what Clay could have done differently.
Exactly.
In a full speed, spur of the moment, split second type of reaction, there's nothing he could have done differently.
And it's nice to see like Vikings fans are kind of like, all right, yeah, this didn't feel good. There were the sentiment on Vikings fans were there were a lot of them who didn't necessarily like say that
if I'm a Vikings fan, I'd be thrilled.
Oh yeah.
But
as a Packer fan, aren't you kind of thrilled too? Like if Carlson hits that field goal, Carlson had two field goals. I mean, there was a lot of
he missed three.
Right, but in overtime, he misses two. And if Roger, I mean, there's so many what ifs in that game. And I wrote about it today on SnowTap WI website, as you know. The tie can help and hurt the Packers. Like, it helps the Packers if they're in the wild card hunt, they are 10-5 instead of 10-6. And you're probably going to get that 5 spot in the wild card with only 5 losses.
Yeah.
If you're going for the division, it's kind of a winner-take-all game in Minnesota on Sunday Night Football in November, which is terrifying because the Vikings are awesome at home. They're one of the best teams as a home team. They're really good.
I think if you're the Vikings, you're feeling good because you were down. I mean, your quarterback, Kirk Cousins, this is the reason you got this guy. Throws 3 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. You basically, on the road... You know, they were looking at a double-digit loss for most of that game.
Yeah.
And the Packers were just fine, and all of a sudden they just couldn't stop him. And I do kind of hope you and other Packer fans, maybe that kind of opens your eyes a little bit to Kirk Cousins.
I'll give Kurt some credit. I think Kurt played well. Kurt played well. I will say that I think this defense would have played a little differently later in the season. I think Mike Pettine's defense isn't fully in yet, and he played a little bit more reserved in the fourth quarter. I wouldn't say conservative. And Mike McCarthy owned it.
That's
sickening that you played that drop on this podcast. You're lucky I don't walk right the fuck out. If our listeners turned off, I really wouldn't care. I would be like, all right, guys, I get it. That just triggered me very much so. But Mike McCarthy admitted to himself, he had his own Jim Calhoun moment today.
Oh, there we go.
And said, yeah, we were kind of lost when Kevin King went out of the game. Like, And that was the Devon House play where Devon House gets burned.
I don't know what else I can say. And if you want me to say I fucked up, I fucked up.
Like, he did. And they owned that. Like, him and Patton. Patton obviously said something to him because Mike McCarthy's like, we didn't know how to handle that Kevin King injury, i.e., we really should have put Josh Jackson or Jair Alexander on Stephon Diggs because Devon House can't cover a fucking rhino at this
point. Well, and Tremont Williams, too, was on skates on the two-point conversion.
Right, exactly. And a lot of the criticism I've seen from this is like, I think you just got to trust these young guys because I think these young guys are really good.
I think Jair Alexander is good.
He's a dog. He is just an absolute motherfucker. Like, the guy just, he gets in there. He's undersized. He doesn't give a shit. I think Josh Jackson's shown some things. I think these guys can play. I came away from that game being excited about the defense. I don't understand the people who are like, the Packers aren't getting any pass rush. I heard a guy on local radio today, one of the like analysts, say the Packers didn't get enough pass rush. I'm like, they got pass rush. Reggie Gilbert got to the pass.
Well, you can't hit the quarterback, so that's an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Daniels was at the quarterback and should have had a sack, and yet he was concerned about hitting the quarterback and got a lot of flack from the Packer Pinhead Nation, which I didn't know what was stupider. The Packer Pinheads doing that or Packer Pinheads who wanted Josh fucking Gordon. Like, I don't know what's dumber. But regardless of that, it's like, I thought the defense played well. I said on Daily Tap yesterday, if you have stock or you're selling stock in this defense, I will buy all your stock. Because I think the next 3 weeks are going to be good ones for the Packers defense. You have a Washington team that looks like absolute garbage against a very porous Indianapolis defense.
Yep.
You have a Buffalo team, which has a guy's retiring at fucking halftime.
Yep.
And you have a Lions team that is lost in a lot of ways. Granted, they did have an admirable comeback against San Francisco, but I don't know. I'm not really that scared of the Lions anymore.
No, there's no reason to be scared of the Lions.
And there'll be a lot of questions like, is this defense for real? And we'll see when San Francisco comes to town for a Monday night game.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be a great test.
And that's week six?
Week six.
So that's going to be around Halloween?
No, middle October.
Yeah.
Not a bad game to go to, actually. If you're looking for like a Packer game to go to, it's just the hassle with the Monday night. Mid-October is like perfect for football, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then the Packers then get into, after that, they get a bye, and then they get into the nuts of their schedule when they got to play the Rams and Patriots back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Rams look good.
Rams do look good. We'll get to lessons learned.
Arizona, not so much.
Yeah, we'll get to lessons learned later on in our NFL segment, a part of the Daily Tap that we're going to bring into Tapping the Keg. I think I'm okay with the defense. I'm really okay with the offense. I mean, do you have anything that stood out to you, good, bad, kind of in between? I thought Rodgers looked fine. I obviously he's limited.
Rodgers looked good. Yeah, he was good. I was obviously concerned as last podcast we did. You know, I would have kind of maybe tried to not go with him, but obviously it worked out, and I don't think I have any concerns as far as his health, really. He's going to wear that brace, but I think he's still mobile enough that it shouldn't matter.
Right, and I think Aaron Jones is going to be a huge shot in the arm in terms of what they can do. I think Aaron Jones just is a spread running back. I think Jamal Williams he runs hard, and he's a good pass blocker, but I think what the Packers are...
Likes to dance.
Yeah, what the Packers are doing right now with their offense because of Rodgers' injury, it fits Aaron Jones. Now, I think Packers Twitter will throw a lot of riots if Aaron Jones doesn't get the snaps. I am one to say I'm cautiously thinking that he may not get a lot of snaps this week.
Yeah, he might not. I mean,
I just think he didn't play much in preseason. I don't know. I just don't know if his body's ready for 20 touches on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think 10 is reasonable that he's going to get that?
10 touches?
Yeah.
Probably. And you probably give 10 to Jamal Williams and then the rest of the time Montgomery, who I thought had a decent game.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he
had a nice screenplay, I remember.
Yeah, that was the other like good takeaway of like the Vikings. I didn't expect the Packers to do shit on the ground, and they actually had some nice moments.
They were,
on,
I mean,
on
they
the
were
ground.
there were a couple, I mean, even late in the game, they were running the ball, which is like,
right,
you know, and never
that
happens.
And that goes back to that question on McCarthy of why didn't you just run the football with a minute left and just try to run it out? But if he would have tried to run it out, people would have said,
yeah,
oh, he was too conservative.
Yeah.
That, you can't win.
No,
there's just a can't win situation.
Well, yeah, you can't win because you have the best quarterback in the NFL. It's like, why aren't you giving him a chance to win the game for you?
Exactly.
You know, the other one, I thought Geronimo Allison was good.
Oh, I love Geronimo.
I get five catches for a 50.
Six for 64.
Oh, wow.
Also, here's a little secret. You ready? Geronimo Allison's way better than Jordan Allison. this basically.
Well, I mean, today, yeah.
The last two games. Geronimo Allison's playing Jordan Allison's role right now. And he's doing it better than he was last year, than Jordy was doing it last year. I'm sorry. That's a fucking fact.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, Jordy was obviously has been a shell of himself.
Do you think Geronimo makes that catch, or do you think Jordy makes that catch that Geronimo did in week one? That he has enough separation?
No.
No. Hell no. Fuck that. And he had the great pump block. That was awesome. That was a great. Ron Zook, I'm sure, is like going to jack off to that. Like, at least, like Zucker, just that's type of guy he is. I mean,
he's a football guy.
Oh, definite football guy. but. Yeah, no, I was happy with Geronimo Allison. I'm ready for the Jimmy Graham breakout game against Washington. I really think Redskins are pretty bad against.
Well, he got one taken back or called back, right?
Yeah, there was a bad DPI on him. There was also a touchdown taken back. Like, Jimmy Graham probably has like seven or eight catches for over 100 yards and touchdown. He was really good, and they definitely got him the ball, and he had some nice moves out in the flat, you know, that I think what the Packers need to do, and they used to do this, and they got better at this with JerMichael Finley, and not do the flat so, cut it down so flat. Like, have him sort of go out almost like a flat out so you can have room to run. He did that. He had that play where he hurdled the Viking defender, and that's a little bit more of a, I guess it's a little flat curl, if you will. We're getting real technical here. This not before you know it, I'm going to drop a Spider 2 Y banana on their asses. But yeah, I'm excited for Washington. I think the Packers, it's a winnable game. I mean, obviously it's a road game. It's the first one for the Packers this year. But they've been up and down against teams. The one guy that worries me for Washington is Chris Thompson, because Packers have not been good against running backs out of the backfield.
They contained Dalvin Cook pretty well.
Yeah, and I think
he didn't have a huge game.
No,
he was a factor, I guess, but like a light one. I mean, it wasn't, you know. And Dalvin Cook's a threat. I think multi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can catch balls. He's fast. You know, the knee's not a problem for him anymore.
Yeah. I think Blake Martinez it's one of those.
They just had trouble with Diggs and Thielen.
It's just two games, but Blake Martinez has looked good in coverage. But I do think it would help you to get a guy like Oren Burks or Josh Jones back to cover a guy like Chris Thompson. Because that's why those guys are on the roster.
Yeah, those guys are.
Chris Thompson.
Josh Jones is, you know. That's his deal right there.
It's kind of amazing
to step up and make tackles.
It's amazing too that the Packers get another run with Adrian Peterson. I feel like whenever Adrian Peterson plays the Packers, he fumbles at least once, if not twice. It's just, I don't know.
Or
gets hurt. Adrian Peterson's had some amazing game against Packers, but I think if you'd really look at his career at a whole, it's been more negative than it is positive. I did have like 191, I think, in a loss against the Packers one year as a Vikings running back.
Back in the Metrodome?
Yeah, no, I think it was at Lambeau, but still, you know.
Yeah.
He's went off before, for sure.
He's got, obviously, nine lives, Peterson. So.
It's amazing.
But he's an all-time talent, and you know, he's going to keep getting opportunities.
Yeah, and I don't know how much I worry about Alex Smith. I think he doesn't make mistakes, so that's the frustrating thing with Alex Smith. But he can be a guy who's in the 20s and has trouble in the red zone.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty good about the Packers next week.
Plus, they only scored 9 points at home
against Indianapolis. Yeah, and they played a weak Arizona, probably one of the worst teams in week one. So Washington, I think, is a true. We're not really sure how good Washington is. I think I like the Packers like a 31-17 clip.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. I think it'll be a Packer heavy crowd, obviously, with the how bad Washington sold in game one of
the dwindling attendance at home openers the last 10 years.
Right, it's been terrible.
They've gone from like 88 to 58,000 or
you
something.
You wonder
like
if
that.
Daniel Snyder's gonna sell this team. I really wonder if Daniel Snyder at some point is just going to be like, you know what? I don't know if I can keep doing this. Or he's going to try to get a stadium in D.C. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah.
Because they're in the middle of fucking nowhere, at least from what I understand about.
Well, I think it's outside of
It's D.C. Landover, Maryland. Right. It's, yeah.
It's probably like almost to Baltimore or something. Yeah. Who knows?
So who do you have a lean on the game? Do you like it around that score or where are you?
I think so.
Feeling?
You know, barring injuries and everything, I think that Packers should be fine and somewhere in the, you know, low to mid 30s. And yeah, Washington, I don't, maybe 10. I see the Packers defense doing pretty well against Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And if they could only get 9 against Indy, I mean, there's no reason that Mike Pettine and the Packers defense can't hold those guys down under 17.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I heard a caller today say, when's the last time the Packers held a team under 25? And it was like, well, week one.
God damn it.
And one of those touchdowns was a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, just gotta love Pinheads, man. They are just the best. All right, so this is something that I've done. I did last week at Daily Tap about lessons from the week. And now we don't have the Bears-Seahawks game we're taping this Monday night. Do you have any lessons from week two of just things that surprised you, things that you want to keep your eye on, things that you're like, wow, I didn't see, you know, whatever. It could really be anything. It's an open book.
Well, I guess Arizona being terrible, as I alluded to before.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, would you go with Josh Rosen at this point?
I think it's going to get very close, yeah. I mean, the Buffalo cut bait with their starter.
I can't believe Mike McCoy still has a job. Mike McCoy is their offensive coordinator, and he's trying to force-feed his offense and not use David Johnson the way he's supposed to. And now, I am a David Johnson fantasy owner, I will say that.
So you want Josh Rosen, so then they start to run the ball a little bit more.
Well, I just don't know what Mike McCoy...
With a rookie quarterback.
First of all, I have no idea why Mike McCoy keeps getting fucking jobs. I mean, the guy was terrible with Denver last year. He's terrible with them this year. Like, I don't get it. And then... Also, the other thing is like, David Johnson, you have to use your best player.
Yeah.
You use him, he's not being used in the pass game at all. I mean, just terrible.
Tampa Bay.
I mean, if you're Fitz Jameis, Magic. I mean, now Tampa Bay really has one of the premier games next week. Might make the weekend watch list. Monday night against the Steelers team, who's just a colossal wreck right now. Right? I mean, their offense is coming, but they can't play any defense. And also, too, like, the former PR guy trashing Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's like, just trade me then.
Yeah.
And, like, Le'Veon Bell's still out. I mean.
Again, that's not something you put on Twitter, but I don't think that's too serious. He's kind of just saying, like, well, then get rid of me and see how good Big Ben really is.
I don't know, man. I think because the guy worked in PR... It's different. I don't think he worked for the Steelers for 9 years. I don't think this, and he was combative with reporters. I think Mike Tomlin's lost that fucking locker room. It's unhinged. My surprise or my like lesson was I'm really sad that I didn't jump on the Chiefs bandwagon before the season. I know that pains you as a Raiders fan, but like, why the hell was I not all over Patrick Mahomes? Why didn't I didn't get like, I thought the Chargers were going to beat him in week one. I stacked against him. I gambled against him in week two. I like doubted the Chiefs, and now it's like I feel like such a loser.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got, 10 touchdowns in his first two games? It's like a record?
Yeah, and now they play the 49ers in week three. It's like, why the fuck is that not your late game? Like, we have to subject ourselves to Seahawks-Cowboys. Like, here's me jerking myself. Like you have the Rams.
The Sunday night game this week was terrible.
Yeah, and then next week it's New England and the Lions, which is probably equally bad, but you do get the Josh Gordon storyline.
Yeah, you do have that. NBC gets bailed out there, right?
Oh, big time. I mean... Yeah.
My lesson for the week probably was betting against Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. I did that too. I it would have been nice for our boy Mount Pius Murph to like tell us about that it was really hot in Florida this week.
The Florida humidity. Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, I hit on a money line parlay with the Bucks.
Nolan,
the Bucks.
You have one job, buddy.
Yeah. Where the fuck are you? this is vital information. I lost real money. I lost pick points on the Jaguars.
Because they are incompetent.
Like, come on, man. And you were all sucking Pittsburgh's dick, and that's what I listened to.
And then they get destroyed.
I like that Mount Pius Murph is sort of becoming this weekly thing with us.
Well,
this is good.
Yeah, it's good. There because
No. This is good. I like this. This is good stuff.
And then, of course, you have the Bengals.
Oh, God. Your Bengals.
My Bengals.
Your Bengals. You need a new team since the Raiders are going to probably win 5 games this year.
Yeah, probably.
Although they did look better.
I don't really like Cincinnati. I just think that they're...
What's wrong with Cincinnati? Is it because Joe Mixon's on the team? I could get by that. I mean,
he's hurt now, right?
Yeah, he's out for the next 2 weeks.
So, I don't know. I think, obviously, they have talent on their team.
Yeah.
I hate their owner and everything.
Yeah, they're kind of weird. They're, like, shitty. Like, they're like the Clippers.
And, like, the Marvin Lewis shit, like, is just so stupid.
Well, I will say to Marvin Lewis's defense.
Unless maybe that galvanized the team somehow. No, I don't know.
You know what?
That's stupid, though.
So I was thinking about this. I can't remember if I said this to whatever, but I think Marvin Lewis just needed coordinators. Like, now he has this guy who was a Chip Kelly disciple, Bill Lazor. He's running a great offense. He has Terrell Austin, who is the former... was the former defensive coordinator for the Lions. And
I thought they had some guy last year that was...
was Lazor. That was Lazor.
That's what I thought. He was some guy that was some hot shot.
But he kind of came in late. He had a full year to kind of develop his offense. And it's very forward. It's very progressive in the 2018. And so you look at, like, the Lions,
McCarthy should take notes.
Hell yeah. You look at the Lions, and they get rid of Jim Caldwell, who was kind of similar in Marvin Lewis in, you know, it's 7-8, 7-9, 8-8, whatever. If you just put Jim Caldwell with some coordinators that were a little bit forward-thinking, you might be okay.
Yeah, because they're just – I mean, Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis, I mean, those guys, that when they're mediocre coaches, they kind of become just a figurehead at some point.
Right.
Where, like, guys aren't listening to this motherfucker. They're just, you got to get a good up-and-coming coordinator.
Right, and Matt Patricia looks like a fraud. Like, Matt Patricia looks and smells like a fraud. Like,
this
bad.
Happens all the time to New England coordinators. They fly the coop, and then they struggle that first year for sure.
Yeah.
And they end up...
Well, and Bill O'Brien, too, is on the hot seat. Like, if they lose to the Giants, who will also talk about another team that's a fraud. The New York Giants tricked me very much. I was like, okay. They played Jacksonville close in week one. Looked okay. And then they fucking were terrible.
Well, Eli just stinks.
Oh, Eli's bad. I mean, this whole, like...
I know Saquon Barkley is a great player.
Oh, no, man. I don't know how you don't draft Sam Darnold. I don't know how you don't draft Josh Rosen.
Well, Sam Darnold came back down to earth.
Fine.
He got built up by the New York City.
Oh, yeah. But still, I just don't know how you spend money on...
That's what I'm saying.
How you the Jaguars look better without Leonard Fournette. Like, Blake Bortles was lighting it up, which I was awesome to see as a Blake Bortles supporter. Like... I love that. The boat.
That's what I was going to say was for my Cincinnati, there's Jacksonville, who I thought would have a down year.
Nah.
Well. And they look obviously really good, unless, you know, maybe we are seeing the beginning of the end for Sunshine Tommy.
No, I'm not. I mean, this is the classic Patriots. No. It's classic Patriots September. Well, they'll be
1-1, and then
they'll be like 6-2 when they play the Packers and when that game on Sunday.
They'll
night.
Be 1-2, and then ESPN will just implode.
No, I don't want them to lose to the Lions. I want the Lions to not win a fucking game. As always. Anyways, we will turn the page from NFL football to college football. So the Wisconsin Badgers, I think, you know, Mitch and I like mentioned that BYU game. What, maybe for a minute at the very end of the podcast?
Yeah.
And I kind of said offhand, like, yeah, you know, maybe, but it's going to be a tough game, you know, whatever. And they just kind of, they sleptwalk. They let sort of BYU hang around. They just kept letting them hang. The defense didn't really play well, and they lose. And now you wonder, is it over? Is it just like, what is there to look forward to? And... it's tough because this is the first time the Badgers have lost very early in the season in a long time. So there isn't that false sense of hope. So maybe it's a good thing, and working your way back is how it's going to go. But
true. And, you know, maybe losing a game takes pressure off of them. And, you know, there are big games. I mean, they have big road games this year.
Right.
They can definitely impress the committee. And it's not like, okay, I'll admit my initial reaction was, well, season's over. I mean, you can't lose.
Right.
But I also did say in one of our podcasts, it's better to lose early than lose late. And you have a lot of good road tests that'll impress the committee. You'll have the Big Ten championship game, probably at Ohio State or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have an opportunity to build your resume the rest of the way. But now your margin of error is nothing.
Oh, right. You have to win. You have to go undefeated the rest of the way. And you know
the committee would rather have a 2-loss Alabama than a 1-loss Wisconsin or something.
Right. If you run the table in the Big Ten, you win the Big Ten championship, you have and say BYU wins 7 or 8 games this year, you're probably okay with that. You're probably, I mean, BYU plays a very good Boise team, a Boise team that people think could be in the New Year's Six Bowls itself. If they beat Boise, let's just say, I mean, then you maybe argue, is BYU a New Year's Six team? And so it's like, there's a lot going on where it's like, I don't think it's over yet. I don't think it starts with Kinnick. I mean, it's a very tough place to play. It's not an easy game, but it's definitely a wake-up call. And I think Vegas responded with putting the Badgers as a 3.5-point road favorite, which I think is a sucker. It's kind of like, okay, you can take Iowa. We want you to take Iowa. But in reality, the Badgers have woken up. Now, Iowa's defense has been really good to start the year, but at the same time, I don't think you're going to see something similar against the Hawkeyes.
Well, and you're going to have the whole Nate Stanley thing, too.
Right, exactly.
And I noticed he was on the promo on national TV yesterday.
Right.
Just a kid from a non-bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate Stanley.
And so...
Interesting.
And so you have... But there were some points made about Alex Hornibrook and... Is Alex Hornibrook to blame? And I think he's the easy scapegoat. He's kind of like the Dom Capers of college football for Badger fans because it's an easy go-to. I didn't think Alex Hornibrook was terrible. He only had 10 incompletions. He just –
what happens, Charlie, is he has a terrible interception or a couple terrible decisions. And most of these same people watch Aaron Rodgers too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a great point.
So you get – And I mean, I'm one of them too. I mean, I don't think Hornibrook's very good. I don't.
And see, I disagree.
I'm sorry.
I think he's gonna have some.
I'll put
moments.
That in my Twitter bio.
That's fine.
I'll update it.
You don't have to. But the thing is I think he has enough there to show something. I think the real problem is what people are ignoring is the fact that for the first time in like 3 years, the Badgers actually got torn up on the ground by a running back like Squally Canada.
Great fucking name. I just googled him. That's not his birth name.
No, but right.
It's his nickname.
He had a 10.7 average. Mm-hmm. So like Squally was dominant. Like Jim Leonard's defense was nothing to write home about in this game. They did not force a turnover. There was nothing there. And the last couple years when the Badgers have got close and asses have been in jackpots, the defense makes a play. The defense did not make a play.
Right.
The blame should start with the coaching staff. It should start with the fact that nobody created a turnover. It should start with that Paul Chryst didn't realize he was getting punched in the mouth as it was happening.
Do you think that Paul Chryst just doesn't really unleash Alex Hornibrook either?
I think there's some of that. I think that if Alex Hornibrook would throw the ball 35 times a game, Badger fans would riot. Even if he threw 300 yards.
Oh, we have this offensive line. You're obviously, again, it goes back to, Jonathan Taylor should be having the ball most of the time.
Yeah, and BYU unlocked something. BYU figured something out, and because they had a lot of these...
I hope he didn't have any Jonathan Taylor in DraftKings, by the way.
I actually did not. I did really well,
actually.
He had a little
great TD Vulture performance.
No,
from,
I know.
Taiwan deal.
I actually had a lot of stock in other guys and did pretty well on Saturday. Thank you. Oh. But
we'll cut that from the podcast. I'm just kidding.
The fact is I think the Badgers underestimated them. They won't do it again. You now play an Iowa team where I think you can take care of business and win. Iowa's offense has not been good this year. It's going to be a defensive struggle. I do think turnovers play a big factor. Hornibrook obviously can't have the pick sixes that he had last year. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a fight, but I think the Badgers...
The night game.
Yeah, night game in Kinnick, man. Those are... Crazy shit happens in those. I think it's like a 16-13 Badger victory. I think it's an awesome game. I think it's going to be a really awesome football game. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
It's going to be a tight one, I think, too. I'll go, 2017, something like that. But Badgers right the ship. Wake-up call, reality check, whatever you want to call it. They get it going again.
I did want to bring up an interesting thing that Chris Fowler tweeted out which was very interesting that Chris Fowler tweeted this out at the very like midnight of after Dustin settled on week three. He goes, yeah, you know, there's not really a lot of teams that are going to be top tier. We kind of have our own Warriors and Cavs thing going in college football right now, referring to Alabama and Clemson. And I was like, first of all, that's really honest. You don't hear a lot of like major broadcasters admit, yeah, basically we could be staring down Alabama, Clemson for
the third year in a row.
Third out of every four, or the third in 4 years.
Yeah.
Because last year, Alabama, Georgia. And you're right. We did get Alabama, Clemson. They played each other in the semifinals.
Yeah.
So yeah, fourth straight year of this Alabama, Clemson thing. But I did think about this, and like, first of all, college football can get crazy. And even though September, there's a reason why we have September Heismans. Alabama does look like a juggernaut, but it's not to say that somebody can't come up and get Alabama. Also, too, remember, at the end of the year, they're going to have to play Auburn, Georgia, back-to-back weeks. And that's going to be as if things hold.
Is that you're talking for the SEC championship?
Yeah, Iron Bowl and then the SEC championship.
And Georgia's got that unlocked?
Maybe. I mean, they have to play a tough Missouri team. They're only a 14-point favorite on the road in Missouri this week. I mean, Alabama is probably a lock to get in. Clemson, probably a lock to get in. But, you know, you never know. You just never know.
Right.
And I just think it's way too
early. Maybe the two-headed quarterback or whatever. Well, they've kind of gone away from
just,
that now.
No, it's just Tua.
Yeah.
Because Tua is going to be a number one draft pick.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's sickening. Alabama is so gross right now. They are like...
Well, it's five-star recruits all up and down.
Yeah, and now they actually have a quarterback. They never had a quarterback. Now they have a fucking quarterback, and it's just all systems.
They're just going to run away.
I mean, they're facing number 22 Texas A&M this week. Guess how much they're favored by it. They're at home.
At Alabama?
At Alabama.
21?
26 and a half.
Wow.
So nearly four scores.
Yeah.
On fucking rail. All right. So, well, I mean, what else there to say?
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, is anyone going to take that bet? That's a huge, it's college football, so the spreads don't necessarily scare you that much.
I don't know. We'll have to check in with Mount Pius Murph with that one. moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. We're taping as they play the Reds on Monday
lead.
Night. Yes, I see Christian Yelich has a two-run homer. So, yep. He's now a triple away from the cycle. So he could do
two
cycles in a month against the same team. And Domingo Santana hit another home run. If you get a Domingo Santana hot streak, look out.
Yep.
But to that point, my question to you before this, so the Brewers are 2.5 back. The Cubs play Diamondbacks. They're going to get underway here very shortly. There is a battle between the Cardinals and the Dodgers for that last wild card spot. It's kind of a last gasp effort from.
By the way, forgive me for asking, but who won the game Sunday night?
The Cardinals did. So they're in a tie. And the Cardinals are beating the Braves right now. The Diamondbacks, kind of their last ditch effort, really is against this Cubs team. So if you're thinking about advantages, Brewers may get. They just got to take care of business. So it's like we said about the Badgers. You just got to take care of business. The Reds have been a thorn in Milwaukee's side this year.
I mean, the offense absolutely disappearing on Saturday and Sunday really kind of stinks.
Not great. So putting to that question, you know, I guess my question to you, Mitch, is who's the most important Brewer here in the next 2 weeks? And
I mean, the obvious one is Christian Yelich.
He's the MVP.
On Saturday too, it was like, you know, you're gonna have to do this yourself, Christian, I think, because I think there was in the ninth, right? He came up, I want to say, with a couple of guys on when they were down by two.
Yep.
And it's just like, they're gonna go as far as he goes, probably.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I do think that there's going
to... You know, I could have said the same thing about Ryan Braun 3 years ago.
100%. It's exactly similar, where it's like, they'll go as Christian Yelich goes. If Christian Yelich is red hot, I mean, he has three hits tonight. He's the benefactor of tonight's game, and whether they win or lose, hopefully it holds. But yeah, he's a major contributor. For me, from my side, I'll start with pitching, and then I'll pick a hit or two, because why not? Corey Knebel, I think, is really important. I think, you know, you have Jeremy Jeffries.
Especially with Soria kind of struggling.
Yes. You basically put him in the Soria role. You have Josh Hader. You have Jeremy Jeffries. you have to have that guy to bridge the gap. And Corey Knebel's been a guy that Craig Council can roll out every night. I mean, he needs breaks like everyone else. But unlike Hader, he can be a guy that goes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They have a day off Thursday. He's back out there Friday.
Yeah. Corey Knebel is, I agree, he's a very important guy. And if he's back, he's got to throw that curveball for strikes. And he's a different pitcher. I mean, he's an all-star pitcher.
He's been really good. And whatever they said.
He's got like 8 or 9 consecutive appearances clean. So he's been good, and it's good to have him back. You know, you kind of freak out a little bit when he gets sent down to AAA, but I mean, let's do it for a week. Let him kind of figure it out a little bit and bring him back up, and it's worked.
All right. Yeah, no question about it. For offense on that side, I probably go with this is a weird combination. And they're not the most important, because I agree with you, Yelich and whatever. But I think I'm going to change my answer. I was going to say the combination of Curtis Granderson and Ryan Braun, because they're kind of platooning right now. But I'm going to say Jesus Aguilar. We talked about Jesus Aguilar last week, and I do think that Jesus Aguilar is vitally important. He had a home run in Sunday's game. Like, he just needs to be able to hit the ball, and the Brewers need to have the will how to knock him down in the order. They are way too talented to make sure that Jesus Aguilar is hitting
third or fourth
just because. They bumped him to fifth on, was that Friday night? Or was it Saturday? He batted fifth on one of those days. I think it was
Saturday.
Saturday, bat fifth. Right.
He was fifth, and I'll say my guy, Mike Moustakas.
Yeah.
He was sixth again. And Moustakas has really kind of been struggling the last couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like getting that guy going is big, because, you know, he did hit a moonshot on Friday night.
Friday night, huge.
But I just think with his World Series and his pedigree, and as far as postseason, getting him hot here right at the end of the season would be huge. He's a very important piece.
And the scary thing about Moustakas on the other side of it is he's a guy who's been known to go in some deep slumps. Like, he's just one of those guys where he goes into a slump, it's not just 2 weeks
He's a Keon Broxton.
Yeah, he's a Keon. He's horrible for a month. Horrible for a month, and hopefully that's not the case. But if it is, you have to treat him like you did with Jonathan. At this point, it's just you ride hot bats. Like, I'm not going to bitch about lineups. I'm not going to bitch about who's in, who's out. You just ride hot bats.
Yeah.
And that's what you should do. And I trust Craig Council. I've become more of a Craig Council I trust with the consistent bitching from Brewers fans who've gotten to, like, sort of pinheady level with and maybe you should ask them when you're at a game, but like, I swear Hardrecord and McAlvey are responding to more trolls than they ever have before. And like, I don't know if
they're loving it.
They made a silent pack and just said, you know what, we're just gonna fucking blaze these guys.
We're gonna humor these guys.
Put them on blast. Like, I don't know, man. It's really funny to just see some of the responses,
because
people don't get it. Speaking of Twitters and accounts, did you see that Bucks Twitter was rated the third angriest Twitter for the offseason on Reddit of all the NBA Twitters? Third angriest.
Who was most angry?
The Knicks, the Clippers, and then the Bucks.
For the offseason?
Yeah, just for the offseason.
Bucks had a good offseason.
I don't know.
Last year I could have seen.
Right. And that's, I think someone made that joke. I would love to see what it would look like last year.
Yeah.
I'm just a messenger. I just thought I'd drop a little bit at the end, since we're like a month away from the NBA.
I know.
Which is wild.
Counting down the days.
Wild. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. It is probably the last podcast before I go off to London for Tapping the Keg. We'll see about that. Maybe we'll be able to squeeze one in before I leave. But anyways, we'll be back. We'll talk Packers, Redskins. We will look at the last week of the baseball season. Probably hand out some awards for the year for the Brewers. Some obvious ones, maybe some not so obvious ones. And then talk about the Badger, Iowa, and look ahead to Badgers, Nebraska. So for Mitch.
They stink.
They do. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have yourselves a great week. We'll be back tomorrow on Daily Tap. See ya.
Peace.